Now, Kirsty Novak has joined us in studio for our monthly citizens information slot, and you're welcome as always, Kirsty.
Thank you.
Now, something dawned on you there as our podiatrist Anne Marie was finishing up, and you said it might be worth mentioning.
Oh, yeah. So, just if people are attending a podiatrist or for chiropody or podiatry and have been referred by a GP, keep the receipts for the treatment, because you might be able to claim back tax on the 20% of your income, 20% of what you've paid, if you're eligible for claiming back health expenses. So it's one of those ones. If you've been referred by a doctor to get it checked out, then that's all you need to be able to claim it back through the tax.
Exactly. Handy to know. Yeah. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about carers in a moment and carers' payments. But first of all, just a few things you want to mention that people should know, starting with the back-to-school clothing and footwear allowance.
Yeah, so again, this time of year, I suppose people are already planning ahead for September and the costs and things are getting more and more expensive. So the back-to-school clothing and footwear allowance is there. It will be paid automatically to certain people who are already on a qualifying payment. If you're getting a social welfare payment, you should automatically get it, and you'll know that by the end of June, and they usually send out a letter. If you're not one of those people who automatically get it, then you know you should apply I think before the end of September, and that's all done online, so it's an extra help with the cost of sending the children back to school. So that's just something we get queries about this time of year. That doesn't open until June, so usually the end of June that starts, that they start getting the letters. Another thing, just to remind people, the school transport scheme. So you might have applied for that online, maybe the last couple of months. Now, if you're applying for it on the grounds of having a medical card, you must submit your medical card details or payment for tickets by the 9th of June. So again, just to be aware of that, you might have applied online, but now you need to either put in details of your medical card or pay for it by the 9th of June.
Okay, and you also just want to remind people they're going to be getting some extra money. Some people will be getting extra money in the month of June. This was budget announcements, wasn't it?
So anyone who's getting child benefit or children's allowance will get an extra €100 per child. So that will come out in your payment next week. So again, if you're collecting for one child, you'll have €240 instead of 140. That will be paid next the first Tuesday of the month.
Okay, and so it's just that one. Is there another?
Well, it's 100 per child.
Per child.
So yeah, that's it, yeah.
Okay. The Susie grants application.
Again, just people, are, I suppose, just to be aware that the thresholds have increased this year. So where you might have thought previously that you won't get anything, just to be remember that, they've increased it so that even a family with an income of, 100,000 could still qualify for something now. So, before that would have been, there would have been no way you'd get something under Susie, but now even up to 100,000, or if you've got more than four children or more, it could be 103,000 that you would still get something. Now, obviously, it'll be smaller, but just if in doubt, apply for it.
Yeah.
And now is the time to start doing that.
Yeah, start looking at it. Now, something very topical, actually, Kirsty. It's the time of year when young people are looking for summer jobs, and it's important as well that they inform revenue.
Yeah, so just because you've got a 14 or 15 year old going out for a summer job, if they're being paid properly, which they should be, your pay slip properly, then you do need to set them up at revenue. They're not going to be paying tax. It's highly unlikely they would pay tax. But if you don't set them up at revenue, they could pay emergency tax. So it's very, very simple. You just need to get the revenue, the employer registered number. So you register online with Revenue Online, get a temporary password, and then set them up. And it's very, very easy to follow, and just get the employer registered number and have an idea of how much they're likely to earn. And are they going to pay weekly or fortnightly? How are they going to be paid? Get them set up so that they're not disappointed and that they don't come home with all their money taken out of their pockets by the tax man, which they could. So just because they're 14 or 15 or 16, they still need to register with revenue.
Okay, that's a good one. Now, listen, we noticed that there was a lot of questions coming in about carers and their payments. So what we thought we might do this month is just go through some of the questions that have come in, because there's obviously a lot of carers out there, Kirsty,
yeah,
who have questions.
Yeah.
So we'll start with this one from a listener from West Kerry who says, I'm planning to take some leave from work to care for my elderly father. Will I have to leave the job completely in order to get the carer's payment?
Okay, so there's, if somebody's working and they want to take some leave, they can take a protected leave called carer's leave, and they can take that for up to 2 years, you know, so they can apply to their employer for that, like there's steps to take, and then they can apply for a payment called carer's benefit. So that's, again, that's a social welfare payment, it's based on PRSI, and he could have that payment, or he could continue to work 18 and a half hours a week and still get the payment. So you can work and get carer's benefit, but you can't work for more than 18 and a half hours. So he doesn't have to leave the job completely, but he's taking leave. So where he might have worked full time, now he's going to be working 18 and a half hours a week. So so that's probably one route for him to look at the carer's benefit.
Okay. Can you explain the means test for carer's allowance for us?
So carer's allowance, yeah, it is means tested. So that's basically where if you're single and you have income into your household of €350 a week from part-time employment or full-time employment, then carer's allowance could be an option for you as long as you're only working 18 and a half hours. Or if you're part of a couple and you're going for carers, which is often the case, somebody might go for carers, but because they're a couple, the husband's income or the joint income could be substantial. Now, your income can be 750. If it's under 750, you could qualify for carers allowance. If it's over 750, whatever's over 750 would be divided in half, and that would be seen as your means. So you could have a reduced payment. And then the means, the other thing is from capital. So you're allowed 50,000 in savings or capital, you know. So for carer's allowance, it's a much more generous means test than a lot of other social welfare payments. It's 50,000 in savings or capital, and you can have 750 joint income a week, and if it's over that, it could be reduced. So it's certainly worth you know, looking into.
Another carer's question from a listener via Facebook says, I provide care for my elderly aunt, but I don't want to live with her. Would I be entitled to a carer's payment?
Yeah, you know, there's a false assumption out there that you have to be living with the person to be a carer, and you don't. You know, once you can show that you're providing full-time care, so that's care in excess of 35 hours a week. So, you know, if you go in the morning and you're there for most of the day, or you're going in and out doing different important jobs in the care of the person, like getting them up, getting them washed, helping with going to the bathroom, you're preparing meals, you're doing shopping and taking them to medical appointments, you shouldn't have to be living with the person. So once you can show that there's a direct communication, like by phone lines, you know, or that you know that you'd be able to get there, you know, that you're not, I suppose, being in Dublin and caring for somebody in Kerry wouldn't be really possible, but you could potentially be living in Tralee and caring for somebody out in Ardfert, do you know.
Yeah, but I presume you would have to show that the person
needs full-time care.
Full-time care and wouldn't be able to shower themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that.
So yeah. The form is quite, there's a big medical section to the form, and I suppose what the doctor will decide on that form often dictates the way the decision goes when you apply. And also what we would say to somebody is start a daily care diary. So start noting down what you do, you know, like from 8 o'clock in the morning until like bedtime, you know, what are you doing during the day? Noting it down. And you know, if you note it down, because on the application form, they're actually asking questions about, you know, how are you helping this person, going to the bathroom or showering or dressing, or just, you know, other things that you're doing for them on a daily basis.
Okay. Will we move on? There's another one from a listener about how hard is it to get carer's allowance. This person says, I applied for it twice and was refused both times.
Yes. So again, we come across that a lot, Deirdre. You know, people come into us and they've been refused it, and you know, and then what often is the case is that they haven't explained clearly enough what they're doing for the person, the caree. You know, they might nearly be embarrassed to say what they're doing for their mother or their father or their husband or their wife, you know, and they say, sure, look, can't they see it themselves? Do you know, like, and they need to really spell it out. So now the person obviously does require full-time care. So that part, the medical side of it, is really, really important. But also what you say yourself. So that person, I suppose, saying that they've been turned down it, it's if you believe firmly that the person you're caring for requires full-time care, then there will be a way at some stage for you to prove that. So keep the daily care diary. You know, you've got the right to appeal, you've got the right to review, you've got the right, you know, to send in extra evidence, you know, start building, you know, if they're going to doctors or specialists, or if they're going to all these appointments, start, you know, getting letters, you know, like showing even appointments, and look, if you want help with any of these things, come in to us. You know, we're well experienced with doing appeals on carers. You know, we explore, you know, where it might have failed, why it might have failed, and how to make it, I suppose, give you the best chance of it being successful if it merits that.
Perfect. We'll take a quick break, Kirsty. Stay with us. We've more questions for you. We've a couple of questions in about passports and holidays as well, which we might come to again. Very topical this time of year. We're on 0667.
You want to talk about? Get in touch by phone, text or email.
Now, Kirsty Novak is with us from Tralee Citizens Information Centre. Again, a topical one, Kirsty. Questions about holidays and stuff and passports. One listener says, what's the fastest way to get my passport renewed? We've booked a holiday for August and I'm hearing about all sorts of delays.
The fastest way to do it is online. And look, that doesn't suit everybody, but that is the fastest way. If you do a simple online renewal, you're looking at 10 working days. Whereas if you're doing it by the post, you're looking at about 8 weeks. So,
and it's, you know, very easy to do it online.
It is. It's easy as long as you know how. And it's not, you know, like, that's the thing. I suppose a lot of people get scared with online. But yeah, it can be quite easy. And look, it's the fastest way at the moment.
Listener says, do I need travel insurance if I have the European Health Insurance Card?
Well, the European Health Insurance Card is only going to help you for a medical situation. The, I suppose, travel insurance will cover lots of things like travel delays, cancellations, lost luggage, as well as giving you, I suppose, a better cover if you have to get hospital treatment. Do you know? So the European Health Insurance Card will only cover you for public hospitals abroad. But the travel insurance is, look, it's always advisable, I think, to get that.
That the hotel is no longer available and we've been moved to a different hotel at no extra cost. What are our rights?
Okay, so with that, I suppose it depends. The travel agent, if they're kind of on the street, if they're kind of local, then you would be protected under Irish legislation for that, where you could refer to the Package Holiday and Travel and Trade Act, and what if there's been a change in the terms and conditions, you would be entitled to like a couple of options. So for example, if they were offering you an alternative accommodation, say of superior or equal, or they could offer you a refund, but you don't have to accept that. So if you weren't happy with what was being offered to you, like in this case, she's been put into a different hotel. If you don't want to go to that different hotel, you have rights, where you can go back to the travel agent and say, you know, you're not happy to accept that. That's not what you paid for, and try to negotiate maybe a refund. You know, and look, sometimes these things don't work out and you might have to go to the small claims court if it's up under €2,000. But just check. You know, a lot of people are getting caught with holidays, but they're booking online and they're thinking that because it says .ie that it's an Irish holiday company and that they've got the same rights as, you know, like that it's an Irish holiday legislation kind of protecting it. But there are travel companies out there that are doing .ie and they're actually not, registered in Ireland. And in that case, you see, you wouldn't be covered under Irish consumer law. You'd be looking at maybe European consumer law. So that could be a bit different.
Okay.
So just to be aware of that. But if it's a local travel agent, you know, certainly if you're not happy with what you've been offered, then you go back to them and you can discuss. Like, you do not have to accept the other hotel. You know, hopefully it would be a nicer hotel, but you don't have to accept it if you don't want to.
And a couple of more that have come in the last while, Kirsty. A listener says, wants to know if a person has any entitlement to dental checks and teeth cleaning once they have retired, having paid PRSI during their working years.
Yeah, so I think they look at the treatment benefit scheme. They look at what your PRSI before you retire and what you paid in the previous the years before you retired. So I think they go back to that. So, you know, I think certainly that should be worth looking into. Yeah.
Okay. Listener says, can you get fuel allowance if you have an adult child living in the house who's working?
Like, the fuel allowance is dependent on your income and your social welfare payment. So the child living in the household, it's usually you and your spouse's income that's assessed for that, not your child. So if you're on a qualifying payment, you should qualify for it, depending on what payment you're on.
Okay. Listener says, can you transfer from long-term disability allowance to a pension when you turn 66?
So if it's disability allowance, you need to apply for your pension. Whereas if it's invalidity pension, you go straight on to the state pension.
Automatically.
You don't have to do anything. But if it's disability allowance, you need to fill in an application for it.
A listener wants to know, is home help means tested?
Not that I'm aware of. Like, I think you can put in, depending again, like, you need to put in your application and that the person is looking for their home help. But I'm not aware of it being means tested.
Okay. Now, I think you answered this already. Does a person who is doing the carer's leave have to live with the person they're caring for? The answer is no. You answered that already, didn't you?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no.
They don't have to answer it. And along the same vein, a listener says, if you're not living near your parents, will you still get the carer's payment?
Yeah, like, I mean, look, once you can show that you're caring for them, you know, like, that you're providing full-time care. So, look, they consider that to be over 35 hours a week.
Okay. Lady says she's nearly 70 and wants to get the medical card. Is she entitled to one when she turns 70? She lives alone and is a pensioner.
Yeah. So, like, so over 70, you're certainly entitled to a GP card. And then it's still means tested, but the means test is much more generous. So I think if you're living on your own, it's around 550 a week, your income. And then they look at some of your savings as well. But if you don't qualify for the full medical card, you would certainly qualify for the GP card. Over 70.
Okay. North Kerry listener says, how much can you have in the bank if you're applying for a medical card? If you're married, are you assessed as a couple or individually? We're both on social welfare payments. So there's two parts to that question.
Yeah. So usually they let you have 72,000 as a couple in the bank as savings. And then obviously, but for the medical card under 66, they really only look at you. So you could still have that money in the bank, but they look at your income. So usually it's pretty much social welfare only, where you'd really get the medical card under the age of 70, unless you've got medical condition. So 72,000 in savings or capital, and then the income.
Okay, so are you assessed as a couple or individually?
You'd be assessed as a couple if you're a couple.
Okay, be assessed as a couple. Now, the listener sent in a question. I'm not quite sure what they're asking. They're saying where to apply if you have 4+ kids. That could be anything, couldn't be? That could be children's allowance or...
Well, or maybe it's the back-to-school clothing or footwear allowance.
Okay.
So again, if you're on a social welfare payment, you should get the back-to-school clothing footwear allowance automatically. If not, it's also based on income. And if you've got kind of a low enough income, you might be eligible for it. So you'll be able to apply for that online through My Welfare.
Okay.
At the end of June.
Perfect. Kirsty, we've got to let you go, unfortunately. The time is against us. But thank you so much for that. Some loads of comprehensively explained information there, as always, from Kirsty, who will be back with us next month on the programme. Now, we're